Life Christian Centre is a church located in the city of Adelaide. It is made up of people from different backgrounds and walks of life who have been transformed through a relationship with Jesus Christ. For more information, visit us online at www.life-church.com.au.
Joy to hear the word of God, and I'm sure that God is going to speak to us. Vincent's going to share it. Takes care of, for those that don't know Vincent, he's spoken before, but he takes care of our prayer group, and he's a prayer warrior, and God's going to use him in a powerful way, and he's using him. And so let's give him a warm welcome as he comes forward to share God's word.
Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. You know, God is awesome. And I believe this morning, sitting in this place, God has made us seated in heavenly places. Not just this morning, we are seated in heavenly places with our Lord Christ Jesus, where he is interceding for you and I, even this morning. I want to take this opportunity to thank the leadership of our church, Pastor Joe and Lena and Pastor Joseph Tanya and all the people in the leadership of our church for trusting God that I'll be appointed upon to seek the Lord for the word of God for us in this place this morning. I don't take this lightly. I know it's a serious business. It's a heavy burden. And I surrender to God, even this morning, that God may speak to us in this place today. I want to invite you to stand with me before we get started. We're going to pray. We're going to pray. As I said, we are seated in heavenly places. We are standing on holy ground. We are standing in the presence of the Almighty God. And I believe today, somebody in this place, I got a sense of someone been telling God and say, Lord, I am ready. You show me what I need to do. And God says, keep your eyes upon Jesus. If this word makes sense to you, and you feel touched by that, I'd love to pray with you. Even at the end of the service, please stay back and come and see me. Let's pray together. Let's stand side by side and cry out to the Lord. Shall we close our eyes in prayer? Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Jesus. For we are standing on holy ground, and I know that there are angels all around. Let us praise Jesus now, for we are standing in his presence on holy ground. For we are standing in his presence on holy ground. Father God, this is the very place where you told Moses, take off your sandals, for the place where you stand is holy. This is the very place where our atonement has been paid. This is the very place where our hearts are being transformed. This is the very place, oh Lord God, where heaven invades earth. Would you come, oh God, and touch each and every one of us We surrender to you, O Lord God, and say, would you speak to us, O God? We are hungry and thirsty for more of you. Oh, Lord, we hunger for what you have in store for us, O God. We wait on you. Spirit of God, would you arise amongst us? Spirit of God, would you begin to minister to us beyond what man can do? Would you do what only you can do? I totally surrender to you, O God. Empty vessel I am. And I say, Lord, I empty myself, O God. And I say, would you take over? I bow before you, O Lord God, and I totally surrender. And I say, would you take over, O Holy Spirit, and do what you intended to do in this place today? Let nothing in me, O Lord God, hinder the ministry of Holy Spirit in this place. Let nothing in me hinder the ministry of your work, O Lord God, and what you intended to do in this place today. I totally surrender, O Lord. I thank you, Lord, for the forgiveness of sins. I thank you, Lord, for you wash me whiter than snow so that I may be acceptable and presentable to you. And I say, take over, Spirit of the living God. Minister, O God, we pray. May our hearts be open to receive. May our eyes be open to see in the supernatural for the glory of your holy name. Reveal yourself in this place today, we pray. May Christ become clearer and greater and brighter as we seek your face today. In the mighty and glorious name of Jesus, we pray. And everybody says, amen. Amen. You may be seated. I'd like to open this message today with a quote. What an awesome sense of the presence of God we have this morning so far. A quote from A.W. Tozer. He says, if you're not worshiping God on Monday, the way you did the day before, you are not worshiping Him at all. I say that again. If you're not worshiping God on Monday the way you did the day before, you are not worshiping Him at all. Worship is not only when we come in these four corners. Worship is not only when we sing songs. And in fact, worship is not about singing songs. We sing songs because we are worshiping. It's the worship in us that triggers that singing. It's not the singing that brings us into worship. I was very, very young. I hope still I am. And I thought when we go to church and we sing, we are singing in waiting for those who are late. So at times, I would show up and I go, is that the first song? They go, no, they've sang about three. I'm like, oh boy, almost the last. And I step in, straight at the word of God. Until God began to reveal to me and said, you don't come to sing songs in order to worship. You come to worship, then you sing songs. Because I am waiting for the song that is within you with the lyrics that have not been written by anyone. A song that is triggered by your heart that is seeking me in the heart of heart. A song that comes from an intimate place where I have begun to touch you and then I release you in the fullness of my grace and then you receive that melody which have never been sang on earth by anyone at all and a lyrics that has never been written by anybody at all. And you begin to sing. You may end up singing in English or in another language. You may end up singing a song that has been written, but you are singing with a melody that is coming right from heaven. John chapter 4, verse 23. John chapter 4, verse 23, we know it's the story of Jesus with the woman at the well, the Samaritan woman at the well. Jesus sitting and he told the woman in verse 23. He says, but the hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father is seeking such to worship him. In a single verse, the word worship comes about 4 times or 5 times. That shows the emphasis that Jesus wanted to put on worship. That shows the need, that shows the urgency of worship. It is time to worship, and the time is come, and the time is now, where true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. So if I could title my message today, I would title it, "It's Time to Worship." Come, let us worship. King David in Psalm 95 verse 6 says, "Come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord, our God, our Maker." We bow as we worship. We don't bow to worship. We bow as we worship. It's worship that brings us in that place of beyond singing. It's worship that brings us in that place of beyond goosebumps, because that melody was so good and the music was so good. It's worship that brings us in that place where we begin to bow down and you go, wow. Even that person is bowing down and kneeling down, and I don't care. Either it's in the mud. I've been in places where I've seen people that say, "Let's worship." As we begin to worship, people begin to cry, and then they bow down in mud, and you go, "Wow!" And he's wearing a suit, and you go, "Well, with a tie," and you go, and he's bowing in mud and doesn't care what surrounds him, because worship takes you beyond the surrounding. Worship takes you in the supernatural. Worship takes you in a place where you have not been before. Worship takes you in the place where God begins to unfold certain things that no man can ever bring to your attention. Worship is translated from the Bible to mean to lay oneself before God. Worship, as a word in English, it says, it means to acknowledge and ascribe the worth of someone or something. Yes, you can worship something. The moment you start ascribing, bowing, the moment you start acknowledging the worth of something. Some of us, we worship various other things, but God longs for your ultimate worship. God longs for your absolute worship. Even this morning, as we read this, in the Bible, the word worship describes an actual act of worship itself. That kneeling, bowing, laying prostrate before God on the ground, surrendering to God. If we read, described in Psalm 95, verse 6. So I wanted, as I began to look at this word worship, and I began to look at how we worship, I wanted to go to the first time where the word worship was used in the Bible. The use of first time. Or the use of first mention, if I can call it so. It found in the Bible where, in a specific place, a specific word of God has come to somebody in the Old Testament, and where we discovered it, there was no music, there was no drums, there was no crowd, there was no congregation, there was just an old man with a teenager. The two of them in the presence of God. Speaking of Abraham. So, my text today is based on Genesis chapter 22, if we can turn to that. Genesis chapter 22, and we're going to read from verse 1 to verse 5. And the Bible says, "Now it came to pass after these things that God tested Abraham and said to him, 'Abraham.' And he said, 'Here I am.' And then he said, 'Take now your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains on which I shall tell you. So Abraham rose early in the morning and saddled his donkey and took the two of his young men and with him and Isaac his son. And he split wood for the burnt offering and arose and went to the place which God had told him. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted his eyes and saw a place afar off. And Abraham said to his young men, stay here with the donkey, and the lad and I will go yonder and worship, and we will come back to you. Abraham, we know the story of how it went and how it ended. But allow me to, by grace of God, to try and decipher a little bit and expand a bit in there. So in research, there is a book called the Shemesh. It's a Bible commentary in Hebrew. They say Shemesh. So it's a Bible commentary on the first five books of the Bible, on the Pentateuchs of the Bible. And the Jewish scholars read this book as in putting comments and putting, fleshing out a bit on what they're reading on the Pentateuchs or the first five books of the Bible. If we were to read that and we were to follow that, it says in reading the Bible commentary, the Shemesh, it says every time in the Pentateuchs when you see a comma, it stands for there was a conversation that took place in there. It's not just a word, a comma, just like an autograph or an English language. No, there was a conversation that took place in that place, in that scripture. So if we read in that, I started questioning myself, what is worship? Question, what is worship? In verse 2 of the scripture we read, it says, then he said, take now your son, comma, your only son. In other translations, there is a comma there, but in mine here, there isn't. So we take the other translation, your only son, comma, Isaac, comma, whom you love, comma, and go to the land of Moriah, comma. It's as if that message did not come so simply as we can seemingly understand. God says, take now your son Isaac and go to the Mount of Moriah where I will show you. No, it was like God comes to Abraham and said, now take your son. And he goes, Lord, which one? I have two. Because you use the singular, your son. I have Isaac and I have Ishmael. So which one are you talking about? Your only son. Man, come on, God. My only son. They are both my only sons. Isaac. God names it Isaac. Worship is offering to God not only our mistakes, but our miracles. Because Isaac was a son of miracles. Isaac was a son of promises. He was a miracle because Abraham was in his 90s and Sarah was past the childbearing age. And yet they got Isaac. It was a miracle. And we know that. And yet here God is asking Abraham not just for the mistake, which was Abraham's mistake and Sarah, and go and have Ishmael, but actually the miracle that God brought, that God promised Abraham. And God is asking in worship, what is your miracle to be offered unto him? What is the promise of God? Sometimes it's the thing that I've been waiting for and say, God, would you bless me with this? God, would you do this? God, would you show me this? God, would you just change this situation? And after God has changed it, then God says, offer me that. It wasn't easy for Abraham because he knew This is the son of the promise. This is something treacherous to me, something precious to me. And yet God says, offer me your son, Isaac. Sometimes we come in a place where we begin to argue with God, not necessarily argue as in terms, but we begin to kind of dialogue with God and go, but God, how can I do this? You're asking me to give it. I've been praying for a job, just to mention, I've been praying for a job for so long, and suddenly, near my retirement, I land a job, and you're telling me to offer it to you. How am I going to pay my rent? How am I going to survive? How am I going to meet my needs? This kind of conversation brings you like in a place where Abraham was found here with Isaac's story and goes, but God, which one of my sons you need? I can give you everything. I can give you Ishmael. I can give you anything else. But you, come on, God, what are you talking about? You know, in those moments, if you try to argue with God, as long as you argue with him, trying to insist and say, Lord, I don't understand this, he will name it. God named it, and Abraham could not turn around, could not substitute for what God was asking for. He had to offer Isaac. Point number two, worship is giving God what we hold dear. Abraham, like we would generally understand, a son of his old age was so precious to him. He held dear Isaac to his heart. But here God is saying, now offer me what you hold dear on the offering. King David says in 1 Chronicles chapter 21, verse 24, he says, Bible says, then the king said to Oman, I will buy it for full price, for I will not offer to God what's yours, nor offer burnt offering, with that which cost me nothing. At times it's costly as we come to worship. At times it's that moment you go, I can't afford it. And yet God says, would you offer me that? Would you offer me that? Point number three. Worship is giving God what we love. As the Bible says in verse 22, in chapter 22, verse 2, it says, then he said, take now your son, your only son, Isaac, whom you love. Didn't God know that Abraham loved Isaac? Didn't God know that Abraham cherished Isaac? Didn't God know that Abraham treasured Isaac? And yet, with all his love, he loved Isaac, and God says, that's what I want. That's what I want. Sometimes it becomes like a moment where you feel like your hand is so clenched up. And you go, no, God, but this is what I love. This is what I hold dear. And God says, would you just let go? Would you just offer me that? No wonder why we come in worship with open arms and say, God, as a sign of saying, God, I will not hold it back. I'm going to let go. God, I know I love it, but I'm going to bring it up to you. Sometimes it's that moment where you look and say, God, I know what you're asking me for, but how can I afford that? There's a quote by Billy Graham that says this. When we come to Christ, we're no longer the most important person in the world of us. Christ is. Instead of living only for ourselves, we have a higher goal to live for Jesus. The moment we come to Christ, the moment we surrender to Christ, no wonder why we use the word surrender. No wonder why we have to surrender. The moment we come to Christ and surrender to Christ, it's no longer us who are the most important people at that place. It's no longer us we live for. We now live for Christ. We now surrender to Christ. We're now ready to say, God, will you take over? We're now ready to say, I will worship you forever. As we sang before, I will worship you now until eternity. I will worship you. I will give you what is yours. Let me tell you this. Worship is the only time, in time of worship, is the only time that we give God what is not ours, but what is his. If I can elaborate a little bit on that is, you remember in Genesis chapter 2, God created man from the dust of the earth and God breathed into man and he became a living soul. Worship is when we bring that breath back to God. Worship is when we say, God, this breath is yours and I will bring it back to you. And that is why we offer even a song in worship. And in fact, if worship was all about singing, it will cost me nothing. Should I be a musician? Should I have talent to sing? But worship is beyond that because God is longing for more than a song. God is waiting for what I hold dear. God is waiting for where I've hidden my heart and say, would you bring that to me? God is waiting for a total surrender in that moment of worship. Worship says, I have no boundaries. God, come in, take over. Worship says, nothing has limit for you, God, in my life. Church, question for you and I today. We've come to worship God in this place together. Are we ready to say, Lord, nothing in my life has no boundaries for you to touch, to reach in, to transform, to change, to do what you intended to do. Nothing has no limit for you. There are no places where you have to ask for a visa in my heart to get in to speak about. There are no places where you have to argue with me so that I can let you speak in. But I come to you and I say, it's all yours. Don't we sing it and say you're worthy of it all? Worship is when we say God can request anything and everything he wants of me. And I am his and his alone. So is my job. So is my money. So is my treasures. So are my children. So is my family. When God says, would you offer that? Should I be worshiping God? I should be ready. I should be ready to say, God, you can take it all. Job says, the Lord gives and the Lord takes. But I will praise the name of the Lord. I will praise the name of the Lord. Either he gives or he takes, because it's all his. Worship says, the Lord gives and the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord, because he is worthy of it all. Because he is worthy of it all. Let's take a scenario. If God today, right now, right here, took this breath of his of me, what have I got left? If you are thinking like me, then everything is his. I own nothing. I owe him everything. And that's why I say, you're worthy of it all. You're worthy of it all, oh God. To you, our lives, we give, and to you, our lives, we surrender. Don't we sing that? Would you sing that with me today? As we say, you're worthy of it all. You're worthy of it all. For from you are all things, and to you are all things. You deserve the glory. Come on, church, would you sing that a bit better than me? You're worthy of it all. You're worthy of it all. For from you are all things, And to you are all things. You deserve the glory. You know what you just said there? You say, God, I am worshiping you. Even as I'm worshiping you, I will sing what I am worshiping you with. I will sing what I am doing, what I am saying. And say, God, you are worthy of everything in my life. God, you are worthy of everything. You are worthy of my breath. You are worthy of my job. You are worthy of my family. You are worthy of it all. And because it all came from you, you are acknowledging God, the giver of everything. And you say, God, as the giver of everything, like Job said, either in pain or in suffering, I will bless the name of the Lord. I will give it all to you, O Lord, because from you it came, and to you I bring it. How worthy is that? If you and I can understand that moment when we say, while I still got breath in my lungs, while I still can speak, while I still can talk, I want to bring it to God and say, God, I've brought it to you. I don't want to wait for God to demand of it, because I've surrendered to Jesus. I've offered my life to Jesus. I said, Lord Jesus, come in and be the King and Lord of this life. You redeemed this life, is your life. And I live for you and by you. By your grace I live. So would you come, Lord, and take it? What a Christian blessed life should we have if we come to that understanding? That what God is waiting on you and me, that what God is longing for, more than a time when we say, it's Sunday, I go to church. Yes, it's worth it. It's worth every penny, every minute to come on Sunday together. But I tell you what, it's worth a lifetime when we offer God everything and say, Lord, I will worship you on Monday, so on Sunday. Comes rain, storm, whatever, blessing or pain and suffering, I want to worship you. Because you're worthy of it all. Question is, how do we then come to worship? How do we come into worship? Sometimes you may say, you know what, Vincent, I've tried, but without just making it a song, I don't think I'm worshiping. We come into worship with open arms in total surrender. We come into worship saying, God, I will not hold a fist of clench into what I hold dear. I will easily and cheerfully give. That's why God loves a cheerful giver. It's not about money. It's not about offering. When the Bible says God loves a cheerful giver. God loves a cheerful giver. A person who cheerfully says, I surrender to you, Lord. A person who cheerfully says, Lord, I lay it all before you. Whatever it is, I lay it all before you. We come into worship with our eyes set on Jesus. We come into worship with single vision on Jesus. Jesus matters the most. He paid the price. He is alive in me, and he is waiting for me to come in communion with him. He is waiting for me to come in that place where he opened the gates and said, it is finished. The work is done. Now I'm waiting for you. Would you step in? We just step into that place of surrender, in that place where God does it. We come into worship with faith. On the third day, Bible says in verse 4, then on the third day, Abraham lifted his eyes and saw a place afar off. Open eyes. And verse 5, it says, and Abraham said to his young man, stay here with the donkey. The lad and I will go yonder and worship, and we'll come back to you. Excuse me, I want to ask you a question. Was Abraham saying that to his servant just to make them think they will come back, or he knew they will come back? Because prior to that, God has told Abraham, take your son, Isaac, the one you love the most, your only one, the son of the promise, your miracle, come and offer it on the altar. You're gonna offer him in burnt offering. Humanly speaking, Abraham knew because he knew how to worship and how they offer burnt offering. So he went prepared with wood and with the knife. And when he's telling the young man, we are going and we will come back, was he trying to tell them so they don't suspect him? I'm not speculating, but I want to tell you why he said that. He said because he had faith. He knew, I am going to worship, and now I have to go in faith. If you and I come into worship without faith, I won't complete the sentence. We need to come into worship with faith, knowing that God is. That's what Hebrews says. Let us therefore enter the high court of God with faith, knowing that Jesus has gone in before us. We have a high priest who has gone in before us. He has opened the gate. He has made it available for us. And we need to come into worship before we sing a song, before we say a word, before we clap hands, before we do anything at all. We need to come in with faith and eyes turned on Jesus. I want to see Jesus today. I want to get a touch of God today. I want to get a sense of God reaching out to me today. I want to get a sense of God speaking directly to me today. I want today to see God ministering to me. And I know I will see him. That faith, that what the Bible says. We come into worship with faith. We come into worship with eyes locked on Jesus. We come into worship with open arms and open hands and open heart and say, Lord, I am ready to offer everything. I don't know what you're going to ask of me today. Maybe you're going to ask of me to go into ministry, or you're going to ask of me to begin to serve into the car park attendance, or to begin to serve into ushering, or to begin to serve into various other ministries, maybe just to cleaning the church. I come. I am ready. I will not hold back. I'm ready to offer that. I'm ready to offer myself. I'm ready to see you, Lord. Minister to me. Begin to touch me. Begin to speak to me. Begin to do what only you can do in my life. And that's how we come into worship. And knowing that I'm not losing a thing, because I'm coming in the presence of God with faith, knowing that the God who calls me, he is faithful to his word. I want to finish with a passage of the scripture in verse 12 to verse 14. We know how the story ended for Abraham. Verse 12 says, and he said, do not lay your hand. So Abraham has come with Isaac on the mount that the Lord has shown him. And here the angel of the Lord appeared to Abraham and said, do not lay your hand on the lad or do anything to him, for I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son, for me, from me. Then Abraham lifted his eyes and looked. Again it comes, lifted his eyes and looked, and there behind him was a ram caught in the thicket of the by his horn. And so Abraham went and took the ram and offered it up in burnt offering instead of his son. And Abraham called that place the Lord will provide. So as it is said to this day, on the mount of the Lord shall provide. Before you and I can come to a place of knowing God as Jehovah Jireh, we need to be willing to worship him. We need to be ready to say, God, I am going to worship you, not like how I have been told in Sunday school, but I'm going to worship you, offering everything, expecting you to do what everything, expecting you to do everything. With faith, Abraham stood there in that place, and here Isaac was spared because he was willing. He was obedient. Sometimes it seems like God is saying, give up your job, and you start thinking, God, I'm going to give up my job in this economical circumstances of today. I don't know how I will survive. And God says, if you are willing and obedient, you will eat the good of the land. If you're willing and obedient, what God is longing for is obedience. Even in worship, what God is longing for is obedience. Are you and I ready to say, Lord, I want to obey you? As the worship team comes back, we're going to go into a time of worship. I want to give you a moment where we all together, corporately and individually, will say, Lord, I'm coming to that mountain where the Lord shall provide. I'm coming to that place where I want to see you begin to say things, begin to speak things, begin to make things as clear as you said you will make them. And I want to surrender because you are worthy of it all. You are worthy of it all, oh God. Would you come in this moment? Sometimes it comes to a moment where you say, you know what, Vincent, I believe what you said, but I've done it before. When I've come to a place where I say, God, I will surrender everything. I will offer you everything. And yet I came to that moment, I did not see a ram caught in the thicket. And I waited. I lifted my knife and I was like, God, are you saying go ahead or stop? And you hear silence. And you say, I don't know, Vincent, what will that happen? You tell me. I say to you, God is waiting. God is waiting for your heart of undivided, absolute surrender to him. Are you ready to surrender to the Lord? Shall we stand to our feet together? We're going to go in a time of prayer together. We're going to go in a time where we say, Lord, you're worthy of it all. I surrender everything to you. I offer you everything. I surrender it all. I'm not going to hold back. For you are worthy of it all. You are worthy not just of my breath. You are worthy of everything that I am. I have a want to be. I have a wish to be. Everything that I hold dear. And here I come. And in total surrender. And I say, Lord, would you come and minister to me? Would you come and minister to me? I want to give you an opportunity. If today you felt God is saying something to you in this moment, and you want to step in that place of total surrender, like Abraham, in that place of total surrender, and say, Lord, I want to know you as my Jehovah Jireh. I want to know you as my God who will provide. I don't know how you will. I can't see how you will. Humanly speaking, it doesn't line up, but Lord, I'm coming in faith, and I'm coming in obedience. I'm coming in total surrender. Would you reach out to me? Would you touch me today? Would you lift your hands and we're going to pray together? I'll pray with you. Just keep those hands up. I'll pray with you as you come in total surrender. Oh, yes, Lord. Oh, we stand before you, Lord God, and cry out to you. You see all those hands lifted, oh God, as in total surrender. We don't want to hold back from what you're doing. We don't want to hold back from what you've called us to. We don't want to hold back from what you're speaking. We don't want to hold back from what, oh Lord God, you are imparting into us, oh Lord God. We stand before you in total surrender and say, oh, yes, Lord, you are worthy of it all. Oh, sometimes it feels so hard, oh God. Sometimes it feels difficult. Sometimes I think and I say, oh Lord, how can I do it without feeling the pain? But Lord, you are worthy of it all, for you are still on the throne. Even this morning, oh Lord God, we pray and say, come, oh Lord. Come, oh Lord Jesus. We'll be right back.
of it all. For from you are all things, and to you are all things. You deserve the glory. Oh Jesus, oh Jesus.
What a powerful word. Isaac asked, what are we doing? Abraham says, we're going up to worship. We're going up to worship. He gave everything he had. Everything he had. Whatever was given to him, he gave back to God. We want to do that this week. We want to give it back to God. I don't think we'll ever worship again after knowing what Vincent has told us, that we're going to worship with everything we have. Give it all and sacrifice it to God. Give it all to God in Jesus' name. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you that you spoke into our hearts. And Father, we won't take this as a time of just singing, but it's worshiping. It's giving everything. It's going to cost us. But Lord, we're going to just do it. We're going to give everything back to you that you've given to us. And that's just a thank you. That's just a gratitude. That's a celebration of thanks to you, Lord. That is our worship. We love you and we praise you. We thank you that you give us life and breath, and we acknowledge that and give our life and breath back to you, Lord Jesus, through our worship. Lord, we thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Everybody said, amen. And everybody worshiped, amen.